ॐ गिनतुमिनन्दस्यनन्दनन्दनस्वकया चक्षुस्मृतञ्जनतस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टं स्थपितं येन बुद्धले सायं सुखदमयं ददति स पुनन्तिकम् मन्दकपदुव्याश्च कृपसिन्धुवैव च पथितनं भगिनीभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। Krishna has just been caught. His friends had informed Mother Yasoda that he had eaten dirt, and Krishna had opened his mouth to prove that he hadn't eaten dirt, and Mother Yasoda saw within Krishna's mouth. Actually, it describes how the acharyas describe how she looked within his mouth and saw within his belly was the universe, with this particular universe in which we live. And she saw the mountains and the seas and the planets, and she saw herself with Krishna. So this was truly astounding, because everything of this universe was outside of Krishna and simultaneously inside of Krishna. And Krishna himself was inside of Krishna. And if Krishna himself is inside of Krishna, that means his mouth is there. And if he opens his mouth, within his stomach is all the universes, and he's also there. And on and on and on and on. So this is impossible for the finite material mind to understand, to comprehend. And Mother Yasoda thought the same thing. What is this? How is this possibly happening? But her madhurya, Shuddha Vatsalya Madhurya, was so powerful. Her pure love for Krishna and the mood of her mother was so powerful, that she completely forgot what she had seen in Krishna's mouth. Completely forgot it. And this way, Krishna, and then her affection for Krishna was so strong, all she could think of, oh, my son is so wonderful, let me embrace him, let me kiss him. Which was just also what Krishna wanted, because he was afraid that she was going to chastise him for having eaten dirt. So she had forgotten everything. He had forgotten everything. So just see this incredible pastime. Krishna is afraid, on one hand, that Mother Yasoda is going to chastise him, and on the other hand, within his mouth is all the universes, and outside his mouth is all the universes, and universes upon universes upon universes, the all-pervading absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, and yet he's afraid that Mother Yasoda is going to chastise him. This is the power of the love of Krishna's devotees. He relishes that so much. So the last text we read was the Traya Chopani Shadivischa, that the Vedas and the Upanishads, Sankhya Yogis Chasatvata, by studying Sankhya Yoga, the Vedas, the Upanishads, the great sages, by reading all this, Upagaya mana mahatmya. They are understanding something about the glories of Harim, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Samayat Tanmajam, whom Mother Yasoda is considering her own son. Vedesh Chasavaraham Eva Vidyo. The Vedas, by studying the entirety of the Vedas, the Upanishads, Sankhya Yoga, one learns to relate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Mother Yasoda is simply considering him her beloved son. So how exalted, what kind of position is reserved for Mother Yasoda? How is it possible that she has achieved this intimacy, this incredible intimacy in relationship with Krishna? How is it possible? So in the next text, in text 46, This is basically what Prithvit Maharaj asks after hearing this. He says, having heard of the great fortune of Mother Yasoda, this is text 36, Parikshit Maharaj inquired from Sukadev Goswami, O learned Brahmana, Mother Yasoda's breast milk was sucked by the personality of Godhead, Supreme Personality of Godhead, who tasted it as if it was just like nectar, because it was composed. This is the gesture of the mother. It's that the breast milk is basically the mother's affection in liquid form for the child, and therefore it's so nourishing. Everyone, that's really what's nourishing for everyone is affection. So that milk was sucked by the Supreme Personality of God. He was so much attracted to her affection for him. So how is this possible, Maharaj Prickett asked. What auspicious activities did she and Nanda Maharaj perform to achieve such perfection and ecstatic love? Here's Prabhupada's purport. It's stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Chatur vidha bhajante mam jana sukritino arjuna. This is Prabhupada's purport. Without sukriti, or pious activities, no one can come to the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is approached by four kinds of pious men, arto gigyasaratati janicha. But here we see that Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda surpassed all of them. Therefore, Prickett Maharaj naturally inquired, what kind of pious activities did they perform in their past lives by which they achieved such a stage of perfection? What did they have to do to achieve this position? Of course, Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda are as accepted as the father and mother of Krishna. Yet, Mother Yasoda was more fortunate than Nanda Maharaj, Krishna's father, because Nanda Maharaj was sometimes separated from Krishna, whereas Yasoda, Krishna's mother, was not separated from Krishna at any moment. From Krishna's babyhood to his childhood, and from his childhood to his youth, Mother Yasoda was always in association with Krishna. Even when Krishna was grown up, he would go to Vrindavan and sit on the lap of Mother Yasoda. How much love was there? This is the love that every living entity is longing for, and it's in relationship with Krishna. And it is not, Krishna is the father, and Mother Yasoda, or even the mother, and asking, and therefore the devotee, Mother Yasoda, is saying, please give me this and please give me that. No, on the other side, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, becomes the child of his dearest devotees, Parama Bhaktas, such as Yasoda Mayi and Nanda Maharaj. Therefore, there is no comparison in the fortune of Mother Yasoda, and Prickett Maharaj naturally inquired, Yasoda cha mahabhaga. She's so fortunate. How did she achieve this fortune? What did she have to do to achieve this fortune? Although Krishna, this is text 47, the second part of his inquiry, of Maharaj Prickett's inquiry, although Krishna was so pleased with Vasudeva and Devaki that he descended as their son, they could not enjoy Krishna's magnanimous childhood pastimes. Why are Krishna's childhood pastimes considered magnanimous? What does magnanimous mean? Generous. So why are Krishna's childhood pastimes referred to as magnanimous? What is the generosity? Krishna's stealing butter? How is that generous? Krishna's eating earth and playing with his boyfriends and herding the cows? How is that considered generous? Krishna's being so naughty. We heard from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur some of the naughtiest things that Krishna said. I'm not a thief, you're a thief. And if you chastise me, I'll burn your house down. Amazing. But when he said that, it becomes clear if you read, he was only 2 years old when he said that. He was only two. When children are two, it's called terrible twos. Because they're so naughty. And Krishna was the naughtiest, but he was only 2 years old. If he was 16 years old or 18 years old and was driving a motorcycle and had a black leather jacket and said that he was going to burn down their house, it would be one thing. But if a two-year-old child said that, it would be just so, so, so cute. Especially if he had that smile that Krishna has. So, what's so magnanimous about Krishna's pastimes? What is the special element of magnanimity, the generosity? Magnanimity, another way we should understand magnanimity is it's mahatma, basically. It means open-heartedness, very broad darja. Yeah?
Without discrimination, he was giving pleasure to everyone.
In Vrindavan?
Every,
yes.
Is
everyone. But a special kind of pleasure.
It is his to display his highest loving pastimes to attract the heart.
Yes. But specifically the intimacy. The Braj pastimes are so intimate. It is like if the biggest of wealthy persons or a great king or a great prime minister lets everyone into his private house and lets everyone engage like a family member. That's so magnanimous. So that's what Krishna did. He's the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all-powerful. The universes are in his belly, outside of his belly. And yet, although he has such an incredible position, he's sucking the milk of Mother Yasoda's breast and letting her chastise him. So intimate. There's no tinge of awe and reverence. So extremely magnanimous. And it is done in reciprocation with the unparalleled love of the residents of Vrindavan. So the text 47 continues, comparing Vasudevan Devaki's position with Nanda and Yasoda, that although Krishna descended as their son, they could not enjoy Krishna's magnanimous childhood pastimes, which are so great. Listen to this. They are so great that simply chanting about them vanquishes the contamination of the material world. Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda, however, enjoyed these pastimes fully, and therefore their position is always better than that of Vasudeva and Devaki. Prabhupada's purport to this text. Krishna actually took birth from the womb of Devaki, but just after his birth he was transferred to the home of Mother Yasoda. Devaki could not even have Krishna suck her breast. Therefore Prickit Maharaj was astonished. How had Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj become so fortunate that they enjoyed the complete childhood pastimes of Krishna, which are still glorified by saintly persons? What had they done in the past by which they were elevated to such an exalted position? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments herein. Since Since Krishna also drank Devaki's milk, he indicates that Krishna drank Devaki's milk. Prabhupada said he didn't. It easily could be. It certainly wasn't very often that he did drink Devaki's milk, because he left immediately after his birth for Gokul. But what is the difference between Haranyasoda? This verse answers by saying Devaki and Vasudev, who are famous in our family, could not enjoy with their eyes Krishna's joyful childhood pastimes. The word udara, magnanimous, that's the word that's used, udara, magnanimous. Mahaprabhu is called, and Mayapur Dham is called Udharja Dham, same word. Very generous, open, no qualifications. The word udara also indicates that Rohini, who took the role of Balaram's mother, and the gopis who acted as Krishna's mothers during the stealing of the calves, were not excluded from seeing Krishna's joyful childhood pastimes, whereas Vasudeva and Devaki were. Difference in the mood of love gave different qualifications. Text 48, here's the beginning of Sukadeva's reply. To follow the orders of Lord Brahma. The question again was, what did they do to attain that? To follow the orders of Lord Brahma, Drona, the best of the Vasas, along with his wife, Dhara, spoke to Lord Brahma in this way. As stated, Prabhupada's purport, as stated in the Brahma Samhita, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavita Bis Tabirya Eva Nidharup Pataya Kalabi Balokya Eva Nivasat Yakalap Mabuto Govinda Mari Purujam Tamaham Bajami. When Krishna descends anywhere, he's accompanied by his own associates. These associates are not ordinary living beings. Krishna's pastimes are eternal. Maybe we could close the door a bit now. Please. A bit, at least three quarters. Krishna's pastimes are eternal, and when he descends, he comes with his associates. Therefore, Nanda and Mother Yasoda are the eternal father and mother of Krishna. So, if they're eternally Krishna's mother and father, what is the meaning of the question? What did they do to attain this position? There's no question of attaining something that's eternally theirs, in fact. This means that whenever Krishna descends, Nanda and Yasoda, as well as Vasudeva and Devaki, also descend as Lord Krishna's father and mother. Their personalities are expansions of Krishna's personal body. They are not ordinary living beings. Maharaj Prickett knew this, but he was curious to know from Sukadeva Goswami whether it is possible for an ordinary human being to come to this stage by sadhana siddhi. There are two kinds of perfection, nitya siddhi and sadhana siddhi. A nitya siddha is one who is eternally Krishna's associate, an expansion of Krishna's personal body, whereas a sadhana siddha is an ordinary human being who, by executing pious activities and following regulative principles of devotional service, also comes to that stage. Thus, the purpose of Maharaj Prickett's inquiry was to determine whether an ordinary human being can attain the position of Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj. Sukadeva Goswami answers this question as follows. Here is Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment on text 48. Short comment. Because Krishna's appearance and his childhood pastimes are eternal, Nanda and Yasoda should also be nityasiddha, eternally liberated associates of the Lord. A sadhana siddha is not qualified to attain the same post as Nanda and Yasoda. Knowing this, and that his answer should be suitable to the devotional nature of the question, Sukadev replied to King Prickett with an indifferent attitude. Following the order of Brahma means the order to appear as gopas and gopis in Vrindavan. So he wasn't, it appears, that he wasn't so... Sometimes when Maharaj Prickett asks a question, he's really enlivened, Sukadev, depending upon the question that he's asked. But here he appears to be somewhat indifferent in answering this question. Because it's not on the highest devotional nature level. It's not exactly expanding upward more detail about Krishna's pastimes, but rather it's explaining some tattva, some philosophy as to how this could have, can anyone achieve, answering the question, can anyone achieve this position? Text 49. So this is what they said, Drona and Dara said to Lord Brahma. Please permit us to be born on the planet Earth, so that after our appearance, the Lord, Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller and Master of all planets, will also appear and spread devotional service, the ultimate goal of life, so that those born in the material world may very easily be delivered from the miserable condition of materialistic life by accepting this devotional service. Who remembers something from there, from that text? I'll read it again. Please listen. This is what Drona and Dara said. Please permit us to be born on the planet Earth. Got it? So that after our appearance, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller and Master of all planets will also appear and spread devotional service, the ultimate goal of life. So that all those born in this material world may be very easily delivered. So spread devotional service, the ultimate goal of life, so that those born in this material world may be easily be delivered from the miserable condition of materialistic life by accepting this devotional service. So Krishna's birth itself spreads devotional service, because his pastimes, especially his childhood pastimes, but not only his childhood pastimes, all his pastimes are so attractive. Because he is all attractive and everything he does is attractive. Everything is full of sweetness and grace and intelligence and his fame and his beauty and his strength and his renunciation and his knowledge. Yes, that's intelligence. So by coming and acting as Krishna, a pious person will be attracted, but not ordinary piety, but who has spiritual piety. And just by hearing about these pastimes, those, they are punya shravana kirtanam, vidyantistoya, badrani. They themselves, just by hearing, create devotional piety within the heart. And if one actually becomes eager to hear, then Krishna, from within the heart, he himself removes all the inauspiciousness. Here is Prabhupada's purport. It's very interesting because Prabhupada is going to speak about his own translating work and how he feels about it. Because Prabhupada was writing this. This is the 8th chapter of the 10th canto. And Prabhupada completed the 13th chapter and then left this world. So this was very close to his disappearance from this world. And this is how he's viewing. He gives many interesting comments here. Just like if someone is about to depart and he has some dearly beloved persons, he gives them some final instructions. And those, the last instructions, are extremely important. This is what he wants them to remember. So please listen to this purport. The statement by Drona clearly indicates that Drona and Dara are the eternal father and mother of Krishna. Whenever there is a necessity of Krishna's appearance, Drona and Dara appear first, and then Krishna appears. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that his birth is not ordinary. Janma karma chame dibyam. Not ordinary, just knowing about it frees one from the cycle of birth and death. Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam ishvaropi san prakriti sam adhisthaya sambhavam yatmamaya. Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, this is describing the extraordinary nature of Krishna's birth, and although I am the Lord of all sentient beings, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. Before Krishna's appearance, Dara and Drona appeared in order to become his father and mother. It is they who appeared as Nanda Maharaj and his wife Yasoda. In other words, it is not possible for a sadhana siddha living entity, living being, to become the father and mother of Krishna. For Krishna's father and mother are already designated. How does that make you feel, that all the topmost positions in Goloka Vrindavan are already filled? All we can do is become an insignificant one of billions and billions and billions and billions, countless billions. We're just one insignificant little servant. How does that make you feel, Jace? Not sure you're in the right movement, huh? Okay, I know what you mean. It is not possible. By following the principles exhibited by Nanda and Maharaj and Yasoda and their associates, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, ordinary living beings, may gain such affection as exhibited by Nanda and Yasoda. So we're really not only seeing Krishna's activities, but seeing Krishna's activities in relationship with his devotees, and we're watching how these most exalted devotees behave and in relationship with Krishna and deal with him. This is very, very, very intimate. When Drona and Dara were requested to beget children, they chose to come to this world to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their son, Krishna. Krishna's appearance means Puritranaya Sadunam Vinashaya Chuduskritam. The devotees are protected and the miscreants are vanquished. Whenever Krishna comes, he distributes the highest goal of life, devotional service. He appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the same purpose, because unless one comes to devotional service, one cannot be delivered from the miseries of the material world. Dukalayam Ashashvatam. Whereas where the living entities, where the living beings struggle for existence. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Mamaivangso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanam Manashastanindriyani Prakriti Stani Karshiti. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Because of conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Struggle. This is the great struggle with the mind. Compared to struggling with the mind and controlling the mind, controlling the senses is easy. It is more difficult, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, to control the mind is more difficult than controlling the wind. The living entities are struggling to become happy, but unless they take to the bhakti cult, their happiness is not possible. Very simple statement, but extremely heavy. We can struggle onward, but we will not be happy. It is not possible unless we take to bhakti. Krishna clearly says, Ashradadanaha Purusha Dharmasyasya Parantapa Aprapyamam Navartante Mrityu Samsaravatmani. Those who are not faithful on the path of devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror foes, but return to birth and death in this material world. Foolish persons do not know how risky life is here if one does not follow the instructions of Krishna. The Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, has been started so that by practicing Krishna consciousness, one can avoid the risky life of this material existence. There is no question of accepting, listen to this statement, there is no question of accepting or not accepting Krishna consciousness. It is not optional. It is compulsory. What does Prabhupada mean?
It's reality.
If, but then in the next line he says, if we do not take to Krishna consciousness, which implies that if that it is not exactly compulsory, because it means if we do not take to it, that means that some people actually don't take to it. If we do not take to Krishna consciousness, our life is very risky. Everything is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, to learn how to become free from the miserable condition of material existence, Bhagavad Gita, as it is the preliminary study. Then, if one understands Bhagavad Gita, one can proceed to Srimad Bhagavatam. And if one advances further, one may study Chaitanya Charitamrita. We are therefore presenting these invaluable books to the whole world so that people may study them and be happy, being delivered from miserable conditional life. So why is Prabhupada worked so hard to translate and publish and distribute these books? Invaluable books. What is invaluable? By saying they are invaluable, what does that mean?
Priceless.
Priceless, exactly. One cannot even estimate the value of the books in dollars and cents, because they are so valuable. Why are they so valuable? Because they have the power to instruct one how to become free from material existence. And just by becoming absorbed in them, one becomes attracted to Krishna, which will get us out. And if one doesn't take advantage of them and doesn't take to devotional service, what did Prabhupada say? What did he call them? What did he call them? Those who do not know how risky life here? Foolish. What does foolish mean? One who possesses the quality of a fool. Yes. And what is a fool? How would we define a fool? When you think of a fool, what do you think of?
They don't know what's good for them.
They don't know what's good for them. What else? What else do you think of when you think of a fool?
They build sandcastles.
Huh?
They build sandcastles.
Build sandcastles and think they'll survive.
Mistakes.
They're thinking what?
They keep making mistakes.
Keep thinking, making the same mistakes again.
Huh? They act without thinking.
They act without thinking. What else is a fool?
They miss all good opportunities.
Huh?
They miss all good opportunities.
Yes, what else? Drive cars into buildings. So many things. In India, you see, when you go in front of the deities in Krishna Balaram Mandir, or anywhere, any temple, you see people, you know, especially village people, they'll stand in front of the deities, they're praying, and they go. What does that mean? I am a fool. I'm such a fool.
But please give me what I want anyway.
I'm such a fool. What is a fool? What picture comes to your mind when you think of a fool?
Huh?
They don't know, but just ridiculous. You know, everyone laughs at a fool. But this material world is a fool's paradise. What does that expression mean? A fool's paradise. That's one that Prabhupada used. What does it mean, a fool's paradise? But what is a fool's paradise?
The
place where they love to be.
Yeah. It's like the example is given in the Bhagavatam that this man, or something, someone is, it's in, I think it's in Purandana, something to this effect, that this isn't exactly it, but it's something like this, that someone falls off a cliff and he's hanging by a branch. And down is thousands of feet in rocks and lions and tigers and everything is down there, and pointed rocks. And he's holding by a branch and there's a beehive and the bees are starting to sting him, and the branch that he's holding is starting to break, and the beehive has some honey and the honey is dripping. And he's trying to enjoy it. And it's funny. That's a fool's paradise. And he's thinking, boy, this is so great. This is so, I love this, honey. It's so wonderful. That's fool's paradise. And it's funny how in Buddhism, in Zen Buddhism, they use that example to show if someone is a realized Zen Buddhist, that he's enjoying that way. They use that same example to show that, yes. What do you think about that one? Anyway, you may be in the wrong movement, but don't go to that movement. Fool's paradise. So Prabhupada is saying he really wanted to present these invaluable books to the whole world so that people may study them and be happy being delivered from miserable conditional life. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on text 49. This first verse refers to their future lives. Drona and Dara would be born on earth where the Lord would appear. Viveshvar means the Lord who maintains full power though appearing within the material universe. According to the statement of Uddhava in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:2:15, Krishna, the master of Narayan and Brahma, appeared along with his plenary portions such as Mahavishnu, Matsya, and Korma. In other words, Krishna is puna, or full. Hari means he who steals the mind. According to the logic of seeing the result, one can infer the cause. The word parama bhakti must mean vatsalya bhakti, suitable to a mother and father. In the future, others who hear about and glorify the services we render to the cowherd boy Krishna will easily attain that most difficult to obtain liberation. That's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's translation or rewording of the potency of Krishna's pastimes, that anyone who hears about and glorifies the services that we rendered to the cowherd boy Krishna will easily attain that most difficult to attain liberation. In this way, Drona and Dara performed pure sadhana bhakti and prayed for pure prema bhakti. It was different from the bhakti of Prishni and Sutapa, who performed bhakti mixed with austerity and yoga. This was explained previously. The result of their bhakti was also seen. So Prishni and Sutapa became Vasudeva and Devaki. They performed austerities to have Krishna as their son. But here, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying they perform bhakti to attain higher bhakti. Now remember that Prabhupada had said that this is the position of Nanda and Yasoda cannot be attained by sadhana bhakti. Yes, you remember that? It's an eternal position, but here Vishwanath is saying that they perform the sadhana. Now it's going to be reconciled how these two can both be true simultaneously. They'll be reconciled later, but for now we'll just keep the two in our minds. You cannot attain it by sadhana, it's an eternal position, but yet Dara and Drona were performing sadhana to attain this position. They're two different sides. Text 50. Brahma's reply was, when Brahma said, "Yes, let it be so," He agreed. The most fortunate Drona, who was equal to Bhagavan, appeared in Brajapur, Vrindavan, as the most famous Nanda Maharaj, and his wife Dada appeared as Mother Yasoda. Prabhupada's purport. Because whenever Krishna appears on this earth, he superficially needs a father and mother. Drona and Dara, his eternal father and mother, appeared on earth before Krishna as Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda. In contrast to Sutapa and Prishnagarbha, they did not undergo severe penances and austerities to become the father and mother of Krishna. That is the difference between Nitya Siddha and Satna Siddha. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, short comment. Drona was born in Braja as Nanda and Dara was born as? Actually, it should be understood that Drona and Dara, who were Sadhana Siddhas, entered into the Nitya Siddha forms of Nanda and Yasoda at that time. So that's the reconciliation. They wanted to become Nanda and Yasoda, and they performed sadhana, and those souls entered into these eternal Nitya Siddha forms of Nanda and Yasoda at that time. Technical point. Text 51. And there's 52 verses in this chapter. Thereafter, O Maharaj Prickett, best of the Bharatas, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead became the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda, they maintained continuous, unswerving, devotional love and parental affection. Continuous, unswerving. And in their association, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopas and gopis, developed the culture of Krishna Bhakti. Purport. Although when the Supreme Personality of Godhead stole the butter, curd and milk of the neighboring gopas and gopis, this teasing superficially seemed troublesome. In fact, it was an exchange of affection and the ecstasy of devotional service. The more the gopas and gopis exchanged feelings with the Lord, the more their devotional service increased. Sometimes we may superficially see that a devotee is in difficulty because of being engaged in devotional service, but the fact is different. When a devotee suffers for Krishna, that suffering is transcendental enjoyment. Unless one becomes a devotee, this cannot be understood. When Krishna exhibited his childhood pastimes, not only did Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda increase their devotional affection, but those in their association also increased in devotional service. In other words, persons who follow the activities of Vrindavan will also develop devotional service in the highest perfection. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the word jana in Janardana means gopi jana. Ardana means asking and tormenting. Krishna is called Janardana because he tormented the gopis by stealing butter and other mischief and by asking for their breast milk. Nanda and Yasoda's devotion for Janardana existed from before, and it was superior to that of all the other gopas and gopis. It is understood from this that some of the gopis and gopas had also practiced bhakti like Drona and Dara in their previous lives. And then the final verse in this chapter. Thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, along with Balaram, lived in Brajabhumi, Vrindavan, just to substantiate the benediction of Brahma. By exhibiting different pastimes in his childhood, he increased the transcendental pleasure of Nanda and the other inhabitants of Vrindavan. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 8th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam entitled, Chaitanya Mataji, 8th chapter entitled, 8th, yes. Krishna shows the universal form within his mouth. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, in order to fulfill the benediction of Brahma, may you attain Parama Bhakti. Krishna, along with Balaram, instilled prema in the hearts of Nanda Yasoda and all the Brijbasis through his wonderful pastimes in Braja, Gokul. He instilled prema within the heart. One cannot achieve prema unless Krishna chooses to instill it within the heart. And Krishna will not choose to do so unless one has the greatest of all longings for it. If we want something else, he'll easily give us that other thing. But prema, he holds, because it is Krishna akarshini. It attracts even Krishna, controls even Krishna. And what's the other quality? Sandrandananda Vaseshatma. It gives unparalleled bliss of a different, completely different quality to anything that anyone can imagine or experience in the material or spiritual worlds even. It's something different. Again, it's so powerful that it controls Krishna, the supreme, all-powerful personality of Godhead. So much so, and we'll hear it later, even in the next chapter, in chapter 9, which is entitled... Chapter 9 entitled... Mother Yasoda binds Krishna. That when Mother Yasoda is chastising Krishna for stealing the butter, tears, which make the kajal, the mascara around his eyes, come down Krishna's face. He's fearful. And he's worshipped in that way, because that means the bhakti is overpowering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So especially in the month of Damodar, of Koti, Krishna is worshipped in this way. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Mukunda.
So it is explaining that Drona and Dara, they are like eternal father and mother. Every time Krishna decided that they appear first. So if they are eternal, so that every pastimes of the Lord, like in other Jesus, like Ramchandra, Lakshmi Narayan, or even Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the same parents like that?
Oh, I can't remember which one is the same. But it also says that just like, it also says in Chaitanya Bhagavata, that just as Krishna took his birth in with Nanda and Yasoda, but enjoyed his pastimes with, excuse me, took his birth with Vasudeva and Devaki and enjoyed his pastimes with Nanda and Yasoda. Similarly, Mahaprabhu took his birth in the home of Satyamata and Jagannath Misra, but enjoyed his pastimes in the house of Srivas Thakur, with Srivas Thakur and Malini. Says that. So I can't. It said, and then also Mahaprabhu said to Satyamata, "In previously you have been this one, you've been this one, you've been this one." So it's. But I can't remember which ones they have been, and who is, and which ones Nanda and Yasoda perhaps have been.
So the Devaki and Vasudev, they also come, and Devaki and Vasudev, they are also eternal, and Nanda and
Vasudev,
and
Nanda
and Yasoda,
they are
also eternal?
It appears so. The eternal mother and father. And then when someone does sadhana to attain the position, it seems like they attain, they almost become one with them, or and they enjoy the bliss that they enjoy. That's what it appears. But this is... yes, that's what it appears.
So those are attained the vessel of frame.
Who? Say that again?
Vessel of frame, they're like a maternal, you know, parental love. So they cannot achieve that same position, but they will enjoy the same way as
what we are instructed, the followers of Mahaprabhu are instructed not to try to become. Nandini Yasoda or the principal gopis, but just servants of the servants of the servants, not to become. Because if we think about it, if we want to become Nandini Yasoda, that's like saying that we can give more pleasure to Krishna than they can. So I'm in the center. I want to enjoy that position. But we are taught to think of Krishna's pleasure, not our own pleasure. So who is capable of giving more happiness? Even in the mood of Vatsalya Prem, some soul, jiva soul, or Nandini Yasoda. So we are taught to aspire to be the servants of the servant of the servant, like that. Or to have love like them, but not that same love. That is in the sampradaya, this parampara. Yes? Does that... No, it's very... It's technical, it's...
So what is the motivation of the sadhana that is performed by the people that want to become a jiva, that want to become Krishna's parents? What is the motivation for that?
To serve Krishna.
To serve Krishna.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, but they're thinking they're qualified. Otherwise, it wouldn't be aspiring for that position.
Well, it's they haven't been taught up to the level, it seems, of that Mahaprabhu taught.
I think maybe we're talking about eternality, maybe different moods of eternality.
Yes. But Mahaprabhu's mood brings one to the topmost position, which is an interesting subject, but beyond the scope of this particular class. By becoming the servant of the servant instead of aspiring to directly to dance with Krishna, for example, then more intimacy is actually allowed. This is the teachings of Mahaprabhu. To become the servant of the servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani, as opposed to... One time in Vrindavan, somehow there was some performance that I went to, and there was a drama going on. This was the performance. And in the drama, Radha and Krishna were sitting on a throne, and gopis were performing Radha and Krishna's pastimes in the form of a drama. This was the drama that was going on, that the gopis in the drama, the gopis were performing a drama of Radha and Krishna's pastime. So then when Srimati Radharani was so pleased with them, she said to them, "Whatever you want, I'll give you." And they said, "We want Sham." So this isn't the mood of Mahaprabhu. Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, "What we want is the meeting to assist in bringing Radha and Krishna together, not that we push Radharani out of the way. Here I am." So it's not like that. And all, in Vrindavan, everyone walks around, "Radhe Radhe Shyamalade," means "Radhe Radhe, give me Sham." But that's not Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. That's not the actual philosophy. It's, "Please let me become the servant." Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, "My happiness is bringing them together." Of course, that's on the most elevated platform. But still, it's so there's different moods, as you're saying, of eternal service. But this one, taught by Mahaprabhu, is very special and very wonderful. And if one examines it very, very deeply, then one can understand why it's actually the far superior position. Simply understood. Do you think you can give more pleasure to Krishna than Srimati Radharani after all?
Of course. Like you were asking, all the top positions were taken, how does it make you feel?
Yeah.
Well, obviously it makes us feel empty. So that's why we're here.
Unless we have love, we'll feel empty. And that brings us misery. So that's why Prabhupada said we should take to devotional service, remove the envy from the heart, and and have love for Krishna instead of envy for Krishna. Chaito Dharpana Marjanam
Baba. There's another point came in my mind that so the Chandravali and Radharani, there is competition between Chandravali and Radharani. You know, they're almost like a cousin sister, right? So is the Chandravali is envious when you're doing it?
This is all like Krishna's playing with his energies. They are energies of Krishna. This is to facilitate the Krishna's pleasure for Leela. That's all it is. There's no envy. How could there be envy in Goloka Vrindavan? There's only love for Krishna there.
Radhana Maharaj was explaining that Raghunath, when he was in Samukum, in a Bengal,
Samdak.
And one of his servants saw that he's only drinking, you know, the little, like a leaf bowl of buttermilk every day. So he thought that, you know, because it's too little for him, so he did the bigger leaf for the
Sakhi Stali.
From
the place of Chandravali, and so they gave it to the Raghunath Das Goswami, and he said, "Oh, where did you get this from?" And he said, "Oh, from Sakhi Stali." He went, "He wouldn't take it." But that's on a different platform than we're on. That's very high, and we are we're still little. So we shouldn't imitate.
Seems that Krishna, even though he's got the best girl, he still gets pleasure out of girls fighting over him.
No.
He's already got the best girl, hasn't he?
But that's not what it is. He's giving the devotees pleasure. He's reciprocating in such a way. His concern is to give pleasure. His happiness is to give pleasure to the devotees who love him. That's how to understand why Krishna acts in the way he does. That gives them pleasure. So he acts in that way.
On a philosophical level also, all of the sakis, all of the girls are expansions
of Srimati Radharani.
So it's just Srimati Radharani and different forms to be a Krishna
person.
Huh?
I find that instead of that might be technically correct, but to actually conceive of that is very difficult.
Well, to conceive, but excuse me, the conceiving of what you're saying is even more difficult from the position of a conditioned soul. It's easier to conceive for a conditioned soul to perceive tattva, because he can approach tattva or the philosophy through his intelligence. But to perceive these lila things through a dirty heart is impossible. Because all we'll see is our own dirty heart when we look at Krishna's pristine, pure lila. So therefore one should carefully read the first 9 cantos before one comes to the 10th canto, for example. Okay. We'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Kisi Gaur Natar Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Bhakta Mani Ki Jai.